Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. And don't forget to try the new Labatt Blue Light Seltzer Variety Pack, available at retailers throughout Pennsylvania.
And welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number four. I'm Jim Galante, and we've got back in with us Andrew P. Shea and Bob Flounders. Guys, I am going to remember, though, we are going to announce the Ask Ross winner, and that is Dave from Pennsburg. So, Dave, I will be reaching out to you. One other note on the show, for some other reasons, we've changed the software that we're using to record. We are each in our own humble abode, and this week we are using video of each other. And I got to say, I've got three people up on the video, myself, Andy, and Bob. And if there were ever some three faces for radio,
this is it.
Yeah, don't share this.
Or at the very least, high-def makeup. At the very least.
Well, I would like to paint this picture for everyone. Both Bob and Andy are there with their wool hats on, and they, well, somehow
it's cold
the thought...
and snowing.
Homeless guys, just as the picture that comes to mind when I see these two. All right.
You forgot a word. The old homeless guys.
Okay. The old homeless guys. All right, fellas. Let's get back to Penn State football. Also,
let's do it.
Let's get back to Bob's 21 items for the 21 season. We took a week off from it last week, but popular demand says we've got to get back to it and get through two of these today. Let's see if we could manage that. Bob, we're up to number 9 on your list. It's reestablish the pass rush. Tell us why. Obviously, we want that. Why is it so important?
I think about this a lot, and it's just weird because you look at what Penn State's defensive line did or did not do in 2020, and you can clearly make a case, especially early in the season, if you wanted to say they didn't show up in some big games or didn't, or in big spots, I can't disagree with you. And yet, both defensive ends were first team all Big Ten picks.
Right.
One of them had zero sacks. Jason Owe, but he was a disruptive player. He did miss some games. He did have some tackles for loss. Shaka Toney, I thought, was much more effective. He did have some sacks. But overall, I think their numbers. I think, you know, they had that streak of getting 40 or more sacks, I think, under Coach Spencer, either 4 or 5 years. That was something I'm sure they used to recruit defensive ends, and they bill that. And, you know, 9 games, not nearly as good. I think they were in the low 20s. But they still, if you look at the Big Ten stats, I think they were in the top 3 in sacks. I guess it's a long-winded way of me saying that we may want to look at quarterback pressure a little bit differently in the age of the spread offense, because I don't think it's necessarily about getting the quarterback on the ground with the ball. It's about, you know, collapsing the pocket. It's about forcing him to hurry. It's about forcing him to pull the ball down, maybe go to another receiver. It's about hitting him after he throws the ball. I think all of that probably goes into a good pass rush, because if you just look nationally, it is really, really hard to get a good quarterback on the ground with the ball if he's going to throw it. So if we're talking about improving the pass rush, and I think they need to, I do think that probably we need to start looking at what a good pass rush really is moving forward, because I don't know how easy it's going to be for them to get back into the 40 or more sacks a year.
My question to you, Bob, though, with that is, you say it's hard to get good quarterbacks down to the ground. How many good quarterbacks are there in the Big Ten? Remember,
right,
that's the conference they're playing in. So I still want to see them get sacks, Andy.
Yeah, so the one, looking at the 2021 and back on 2020, the first thing that comes to mind is, and we knew this already, Sean Spencer was really good at his job, right? He was really good at job. During that 4-year run from 16 to 19, there were a couple years in there at the end of the year when you saw their sack total, it was a little surprising, because you were like, oh, I didn't realize they had that many quote-unquote sacks, right? And they also have been good about TFLs, and I think that matters. Bob's 100% right that it's in the spread out with the spread offense, it's more about pocket impact. You know, you're looking to get the guy off the spot. Does he have to make his throw sooner than he wants to? And part of Penn State's reestablishing the pass rush comes up the middle. Don't you think, Bob? I mean, we've always thought of it about coming off the edge at Penn State for nearly a half, 7, 8, 9 years under, Franklin. Mm-hmm. And even when O'Brien was there, you had Carl Nassib. It was always about the edge. It's now become about the combination of impact between the push up the middle mm-hmm. and a little bit of pressure off the edge. And they weren't great last year.
No,
they weren't bad, but they weren't good by any stretch. And now they don't have two guys that are going to be probably playing in the NFL. There's a lot of pressure on this defense to make this pass rush and be able to impact this pocket a lot in 2021. And it might be making a little chicken salad out of chicken, you know what.
Bob, staying with the defensive end for just a little bit, and thank you, Andy, for not using the word you wanted to use there. I always think of the defensive end as having four starters. There's the four-man rotation.
Yeah.
And last year's four men, three out of the four are gone with Adiza Isaac as the only returner. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of us look at Arnold Ibikiti coming in from Temple, and I've been practicing the pronunciation. I believe we think he's going to step right in and start, and if not start, at least be part of, again, that four-man rotation. Okay, I've named the two I know. Who are the next two, Bob?
Without question, he's a young player, but I expected a lot more from Adiza Isaac in 2020. You look at the numbers, you look at the snaps he played. He had bulked up to 250 pounds, and guys, we didn't, he was a second-year player, but we didn't see it. I mean, there's been some pretty good, Etor Gross Matos in his second year, you saw it right away. A dominant player. You see guys making that move in their second year. I was surprised. Now, he is still a young player, and I still think that they really believe in him. A lot of the guys, the veterans, really like him, but you're going to need to play four. You're right. So a guy like Vilbert Smith, who you saw very sparingly, I think, last year, is another guy that's going to have to play better. But, it's almost – you could make the argument that defensive end is by far, and that is with the Temple addition. And I will just lean on Jimmy for the next couple of minutes to pronounce that name. But that's got to be, if not the biggest question mark on the team. It's either one or 1A, and you're really expecting a lot out of those guys to play anywhere near the level that Shaka played or Jason played, because Jason did do some good things. He just didn't get any sacks. I don't know. I would say maybe the biggest question Penn State has is who are the defense, and that says a lot because their defensive tackles are not exactly I think all Big Ten material.
Okay. Well, at the risk of only doing one topic, we want to get to that second one so we get at least two in today, Bob. And to get there, we have to go to the opposite side, the opposite line, and you talk about improving the pass protection.
Yeah, and it really showed up in the 5-game losing streak, especially, in those losses to, it wasn't so much the Indiana game, but in the four games they lost to Ohio State, Maryland, Nebraska of all teams, and Iowa, they got manhandled at scrimmage. Now, you expect that a little bit from Ohio State because they do have a lot of 4- and 5-star players, but Maryland ragdolled these guys, and so did Iowa, and they're good. But Nebraska, there was a key play in that Nebraska game where there was a defensive touchdown, I think, off of a blitz in that first half. And the guy came free, unchecked, and just blasted Clifford. The offensive line took a while under Phil Troutwine to get it together. I still think that was a talented offensive line, and I still think you're going to see at least four guys from that offensive line play in the NFL, at least four. But the other thing I think that needs to be brought up when you're going to improve pass protection is the quarterback play's got to be better. You can't hold on to the ball. Your footwork's got to be better. The ball's got to come out quick. you're going to hold the ball, you're probably going to get hit. And I thought of all the sacks they give up in those games, I didn't think all of them were on the offensive line, but they do need to be played better. But I think if they get improved quarterback play from Clifford in terms of getting the ball out a little bit quicker and on time, I think you're going to see the sack numbers go down.
Andy, how much of this is on Sean Clifford and getting the ball out? And do you see much improvement with a new OC?
I don't see any. I disregard the OC on this in terms of the offensive line, just in my mind. It's 40 to 50% on Sean Clifford to be a better quarterback to help his offensive line to a degree. What surprised me, and surprise isn't the right word. What kind of startled me about this offensive line, and Bob said four of them could play in the NFL, was in some respects, at times, as a collective group, they were appreciably underperforming at a pretty high level. And you're like, how did they get collectively worse? You know what I mean? Now, I know Phil's going to teach different techniques, and you had a new offensive line coach. So there was a new, you know, sort of blocking scheme got in. I thought they became better, obviously, run blockers because they leaned on it like crazy as the year went on. But collectively as a unit, I never really thought they were the force that they should have been. And you could chalk that up to a new coach, COVID, not being able to work on stuff. Maybe he tried to do too much in the short period of time he had him in person, et cetera, et cetera. But there's some talent there that was underutilized and underperformed. Like, it still falls on the players to a degree. But I don't think they were like a quote-unquote boat anchor for the team, but they definitely didn't help them, and they got no help, generally speaking, from their quarterback.
Bob, in the half minute or so we have left, is there still enough talent on this offensive line for it to be more than just okay, for it to be a good offensive line?
It should be a team strength. I think Rashid Walker at the end of this year will be in the first-round pick conversation. I think Caden Wallace, second year as a starter, huge step up. I don't think Mike Miranda gets enough credit. He was a second-team All-Big Ten pick that could start at guard or center. And the fact that Juice Scruggs is healthy again, I think they feel very good about it. At least four of their five starters.
Well, let's hope they get that fifth one in there that they could have some confidence in, guys. All right, that is it for our first recording where we could see each other. I'm not sure if that's good or bad, fellas. We'll decide that later. But that is it for today's show. Thank you all for listening, and be sure to join us next time on the Keystone Kickoff Show. It won't be long before we get back outside for those cookouts and tailgates, and the best way to get ready is at thetailgateclub.com. We feature your favorites from 409 Tailgate with their Peachy Paws barbecue sauce and famous Bloody Mary mix. We also have great condiments you won't find at the grocery store, like bacon ketchup and hot banana mustard. How about salsas like raspberry chipotle and roasted red chili and honey? Head over to thetailgateclub.com. That's thetailgateclub.com for all these amazing products and more.
This is where the temperatures are unkind. This is where water freezes in the blink of an eye. This is where the wind bites harder than a mid-ice cross check. This is where the beer is always on ice. This is Labatt Hockey, played the way Mother Nature intended. Labatt Blue is proud to support pond hockey and all the hardy souls that like to play it cool. This is Labatt Hockey.
Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.